The Apostle John said this: "This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. So who is this world that we have overcome? The Apostle John talks about the world throughout his letter. If you open to 1 John chapter 2, let's read some verses about who the world is. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." So here we start seeing who the world is. It's the world of ungodliness. The people who are involved in the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. This is who the world is. In verse 17, "The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." When we overcome the world of ungodliness, what's going to happen to the world? It's going to pass away. It's not going to endure. But what about the one who does the will of God? He will live, or she will live, forever. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." Here we find unbelievers. They do not know us, do not accept and believe what we believe in about Jesus and about God and about the Bible. The world does not know us. So here we find the world also full of unbelief. And they also ones that do not know Jesus, His true character, and why Jesus came to this world. That is who the world is. Go to chapter 5, verse 19. Something else about the world. "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." So who is the world doing its bidding? It is of the evil one. So, brethren, we've seen who the world is, and we can overcome the world. But how can we overcome the world? What is the answer? How is it? It is our faith. It is our faith that overcomes the world. This morning, we're going to continue our series on doctrinal issues. This will be the fourth sermon. And as you perceive, that the sermon is going to be on faith. Now, when we think about faith, there is great misunderstanding in the world. And you know your friends and neighbors and maybe family members. What do they think about faith? They say, well, that's just what you believe. It's what you have in your heart. And they'll say, it's okay to believe what you want to believe. Everyone has their own beliefs. Anyone can believe, and everyone's okay with their own belief. And they all will go on to say, well, it doesn't matter. What you believe in is subjective. It's not based on objective evidence. It's just what you believe, and you have every right to believe what you believe. That's what the world thinks about what faith is. Well, we as people of God and people of the Word need to be grounded and very firmly what faith is, as Scripture speaks about. And we're going to see in our study, and as you know, what the world believes about faith is completely opposite of what the Bible believes. And so this is a serious doctrinal issue. How important is it? It will allow us to overcome the world. It will allow us to have heaven as our home and have eternity. Very, very important topic. So hopefully this morning in our study, we will ground our understanding, refresh our mind about things about faith. We're going to talk about three things this morning. First of all, very basic, we're going to say, what does the Bible say about faith? What is faith in the Bible? Second, as we do our study, we're going to see that through faith, as we just read this verse, people in the past and we of today of faith access God's blessing. So faith allows us to access God's blessings. And the third thing we're going to do this morning is we're going to look through Scripture and note various different attributes of faith to encourage us. So let us begin and talk about what is faith. I'm going to read from you a dictionary. It's a two-part definition of what the dictionary says about faith. This is the definition one. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Two, a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Spiritual apprehension just means spiritual understanding. So you see here how people use the word faith, commonly used in the world today. That's what the dictionary reflects. What did they say? It's based on your spiritual apprehension, not on proof. Well, brethren, does that sound right to you? Is your faith based not on proof? It's just what your spiritual understanding is? The Bible very clearly shows us that faith in the Bible is based on proof. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. Here, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, he says this, starting verse 4. He says, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." You see here, Paul is saying here is what I'm speaking to you is based on the power of God. The miracles that he worked was a demonstration of his truth was true. And as we look at our Bible and look at all the stories of God appearing to men and God working miracles, why did God do all these miracles? He has given us proof to believe on what he says and to believe on his word. So faith is based, as the Bible teaches, is based on proof. Let's look at another example. Go with me, same letter. Go to chapter 15, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Here talking about the bodily resurrection. And just note verse 14. "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith also in vain." So what is our faith based on? It is based on Christ's resurrection. And Paul says, well, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, your faith is vain, it's worthless. But of course we know Christ did rise from the dead. Now think with me, as you know your Bibles and know the Gospels and the letters, what did God do to show that Jesus rose from the dead? There are over 12 different appearances to different individuals, groups of people, where Jesus appeared to people after he died, rose from the dead. Why over 12? Why not just one? You see here, evidence, people, witnesses. Jesus on one occasion fixed breakfast after he rose from the dead for his apostles. They were out fishing. He's fixing, he has bread and cooking them fish. He rose from the dead. What is that? That's proof. He's alive. He's not dead. And we have a record of that. And we look at all the prophecies about how Jesus would die and be raised. What is all that? That's all proof. To prove that Jesus rose from the dead. And our faith is based on objective evidence. And the most powerful, of course, being Christ's resurrection from the dead. So, brethren, when you hear in the world and you look at this definition, your faith is not based on proof. That's ridiculous. The Bible, all through it, from beginning to end, people that believe, men and women, was based on things that happened, proof, not on just what you internally believe. Now, when we look at the word faith in the Bible, and we talked about this in the last sermon on grace, and you know this as good Bible students, a same word in the Bible can have many different meanings. We looked at that 2 weeks ago, talked about grace. Grace is used in different ways. And you know that as good Bible students that you are. Words do not have the same meaning in every occasion of the Bible. They all have, in some cases, they have different meanings. And how do you know what they mean? You context and harmony. So we're going to see here, as we look at several selected passages, the same is true of faith. Faith can be used in different ways. And so if we're using passages and teaching others, we've got to understand what's the context, what kind of faith is being talked about here, because there are different uses. So let's note a few different ways the word faith is used in Scripture. The first one I will call the system of faith. Faith is used to refer to the system of faith. And let's look at some passages here, and I'll explain a little bit more if you're a little bewildered. What does that mean, system of faith? Go with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. We know Paul, as he wrote the Roman letter, there were Judaizing teachers and talking about the, you know, need to go back to the old law. And Paul's point through the book of Romans was you're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And so he has this big discussion here between the gospel and between the Jewish faith, the Jewish law. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 28, where we find our word faith. It says, now we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So here in this particular passage, we have a contrast. We have faith on one side, and we have works of law on the other side, or the Jewish law. And Paul's point here is, now, under the Christian dispensation, we are justified by this faith. It's not talking about what you believe in. It's talking about the Christian belief system. This is how the word faith is being used. Faith versus the old law. And, of course, he's saying, now we are justified by this faith. So you see here, this faith is the system of faith, our Christian beliefs, the gospel, the Christian dispensation. It's not what you believe. You may believe about the gospel, but here in this particular passage is referring to the system of faith. Let's get another occasion here that shows it very clearly that the system of faith is used in some places. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. Galatians 3, verse 25. Very famous passage here about faith. 3:25 says this, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. What? Faith has come? You see, that's not talking about what a person believes in. Faith has come. The Christian system of beliefs have come. It's now in force. And the Old Testament had a purpose. It was to bring us to this faith, bring us to Christ. Now, faith has come. Again, this is the system of faith. So that's one way the word faith can be used. A second way faith can be used is how maybe we use it. It's a personal belief in the gospel. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 3:2. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Here, Paul writes about something that's going to happen with Timothy. And he says in verse 2, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and to encourage you as to your faith. What is the faith here? Is what a person believes about the gospel. And what is the purpose of Timothy go? And what is his role? Well, he is a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And he's going to build your faith. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to encourage you. So the faith here is used of what a person's belief in the gospel of Christ. And so here it's not talking about the system of faith, but what it says, your faith is what you believe about the gospel. So here we find a second way of being used. Go back to Romans chapter 4, verse 9. Romans 4, verse 9. Some passages here talking about Abraham. And we know about Abraham, and it refers to it from an Old Testament scripture. Look at Romans 4, 9. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. So here we find Abraham had faith. But what did he have faith in? We know from the Old Testament he had faith in God, that God would do what he said. And of course, we know that Abraham obeyed God. He had faith in God and that he would deliver him and fulfill his promises. So here it is faith in God, trust and obedience to God. This is how we find faith being used here. The last way we want to look at here, and this now is more like how the world believes, is an individual subjective belief. Here in Romans, go to chapter 14, Romans 14, verse 21 through 22. Let's go to 23. Romans 14, 21 through 23. Again, we're going to find the word faith being used here. But if we look at the setting here, where what Paul is addressing here is about brethren, Christian brethren, who are weak in faith. And some of these weak brethren saw other Christian brethren eating meat sacrificed to idols. And Paul is addressing this thing. And he's going to use his word faith. We want to pay clear attention to what is this faith here. So let's look at verses 21 through 23. He says, it is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. For he who doubts is condemned if he eats. But his eating is not from faith. Because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. When you look at these passages here, what is this faith here? This is what a person has his own personal beliefs. And this is, in this particular case, this is how the world views faith. It's just what you believe. And what Paul's point here is, if a brother believes that eating meat sacrificed to idol is wrong, that's what he believes. If he's to violate his conscience, it says he sins. Again, this faith is not talking about the gospel. It is talking about what that person believes in. And verse 22 kind of really shows that. The faith which you have as your own conviction. You see, that is a personal belief. What person believes, right or wrong. And of course, Paul's point here is, do not offend that brother. Do not eat that meat. Because if that person who believes eating meat was wrong, which it really wasn't, but if he did eat it, he would sin. He'd be violating his own conscience. That's his faith. And so here we find another use of how the word faith is being used. So again, brethren, when we open our Bibles and we're studying about faith here, let's be aware that faith can mean different things. We also find, as we study the word faith, that faith and belief can be used interchangeably. If you hear in Romans, go back to chapter 4, back to Abraham, and note something very interesting here. Romans chapter 4, verse 9. We read about the last part. Faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. Okay, now go up to verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You're not talking in verse 3, not about Abraham's faith, but this is talking about belief. Same thing. So belief and faith can be used interchangeably. So when people use John 3:16, whoever believes, talking about, you know, a faith. Faith there. Belief and faith can be used. And when you look at faith, and you look at the Old Testament, you will find very surprisingly the number of times that the word faith occurs in the Old Testament, you can probably count them on the hands of one hand. Not very many times you find the word faith used in the Old Testament. But does that mean that the men and women of the old did have faith? Absolutely not. They had great faith. Many of them did. But we have the word believe being used in the Old Testament. So also note that as we consider about faith. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Ephesians 4, 5. So we have different faiths. We've seen here different usages. And we know here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's start in verse 5. Here we have the seven ones, seven things. And note in verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith. Well, I thought there are many faiths in the world today. Yes, there are. Many different doctrines. But what does God's Word teach us? And as you know, now what faith is this here? This is the system of faith that makes a man or woman right before God, all made possible through the death of Jesus Christ and our obedient faith. There is only one system of faith. Again, how contrary to the world. And we need to be bold, and we not to be apologetic, to say to the world, brethren, the Bible teaches that there's only one faith. Yes, there are many different faiths, but is that right? No, that is not right. God said there is only one system of faith, system of beliefs to make man right between him and God because of sin. And there's only one, not many. And the last thing we want to talk about here about faith, and this is one that I know this audience is very well aware, is when you look at the word belief, you look at the word faith, you find that in the vast majority of occasions, that faith that refers to in the Bible is an obedient faith. It is not just belief only. It is something that one trusts and believes in the gospel of Christ and acts upon it. It is an obedient. It is an active faith. There is only one place in the Bible, in the New Testament, that talks about faith alone. Go with me to James chapter 2, verse 24. So the world says any faith is okay, whatever you believe is all right. You want to go to heaven, all you got to do is believe. Go to James chapter 2, verse 24. We find in Scripture, and again, this is the only place where you have the word faith, and pointing out that it just includes belief only. 2:24. It says this: "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." Here is faith alone, the one time that appears in the New Testament. And brethren, what does it say? We are not justified by faith alone. Contrary to the world, contrary to our Christian friends and neighbors and co-workers, we are by believing alone. Only one passage here. And what does it say? Are we justified? No, just the opposite. We are unjustified. So here we've seen what faith is. And hopefully this has been a refresher to us, but there's a lot of good information here to help us to teach others about faith. Let's move on now to our second point about faith. And we see that through faith, we can access God's blessing by faith. Let's look at some examples in the Gospels about faith. Not talking directly about the gospel as we know it, but about an occasions about faith. And let's see how it worked. Go with me to Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Matthew 10, verse 46. Let me back up. Let's go to, I jumped ahead here. Excuse me. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew first. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 10. I'll get it right. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Let's read verses 46 through 47. This is Bartimaeus. Let's read 46 and 47. "Then when they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" Drop down to verse 51. And so the man comes up to Jesus in verse 51, and answering him, Jesus answers, says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. So here's this man. And what is he crying out? Evidently he knew something about the Old Testament. He recognized that Jesus was more than just Jesus the carpenter, Jesus the Nazarene. But he was more. He was the son of David. And he's appealing to him to have mercy on him. And he provides this title, Rabboni, which means like master, chief master. And what does Jesus say to him? "Your faith has made you well." Well, the man believed who Jesus was. He evidently knew the son of David, knew how much more he knew. But his faith, what he believed him, made him well. Was this some type of metaphysical transformation? His faith just made him able to see? What was it that made this man able to see? We know it was Jesus' power being the Son of God. But the Scripture says, his faith has made him well. Do you see here? Here's a perfect example how faith provides access to God's grace. The power resided in Jesus. This blind man believed. And he tells him, "Your faith has made you well." So you see here, his faith allowed him to access Jesus' power. And through Jesus' mercy and grace, he healed this blind man. His faith made him well. So you see here how faith enabled the man access Jesus' grace in him healing this man. Let's look at another occasion. Go with me to Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Luke 8, verse 43. Here is the case about the woman with the hemorrhaging problem. Luke 8, let's read 43 through 44. It says, "A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped." And then go with me to 47 through 48. And the woman saw that she could not escape notice. And she came trembling and fell down before him, declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And this is what, note what Jesus said to this woman. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Another example here, this woman believed Jesus could make her heal. And how much more she believed, don't know. But Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Do you not see how this woman's faith, she was able again to access Jesus' power, Jesus' will, and His grace to allow this woman who had this bleeding case for over 12 years, couldn't find any cure, she is healed. How was it made possible? Jesus had the power. Jesus had the grace. The woman had faith. And what did that woman's faith do? It was able to access Jesus' power and His grace, and she was healed. I liken faith to walking an open door, opening a door and walking through it. And on the other side is God's grace. But you got to open the door and walk through it. In our case, as we as Christians, is walking through that door, that's something we have to do all the time. We just don't do it once. It's a continual process. But when we do that, we can access God's grace. So let's look at another scripture here. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15. A very familiar passage. Many points can be made on 2 Timothy 3, 15. But I want to make a passage here having to do with our topic here this morning. Here, as Paul writes about Timothy, he says, "And from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which is able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation," note this, "through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So here we find Timothy was able to access salvation. He did it through the Scripture. He read the Old Testament Scripture. It gave him wisdom. And as a result of that wisdom, his faith gave him salvation. And again, he accessed it. Of course, the salvation is through Jesus Christ. And for us today, brethren, the same thing applies to us. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have eternal life? What about all the sins you've committed? We stand condemned before God. Well, how are we going to make it to heaven? Well, you've got to obey the gospel, yeah. But look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we made this point in our previous sermon on grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. He says, "For by grace you have been saved." We made this point. We have been saved by the grace of God. But how do we access that grace? We know God's grace is extended to all mankind. Does mankind make avail of His grace? And the answer is no. Well, how do they avail that grace? They do it through faith. And so, such a critical thing for us today. We want to go to heaven. We want to be saved. And only by the grace of God will that maybe be possible. But we must have an active and obedient faith. And so again, we see this is how we access God's grace. Jesus came and He died for us. He shed His blood. How do I access that those blessings of the sacrifice that He made? It is through our faith, all made possible by His grace, by His coming and dying for us. Peter also makes the same point. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Peter 1, 9. 1 As he goes through this list of all the things that we ought to be doing, and he kind of concludes the discussion in verse 9. He says, "Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So you see that faith is critical to our salvation. Can't be saved without our faith. And so a very important point, a very simple point. You want to go to heaven? You keep an active and an obedient faith. That's the how we can make it. So let's look in the last part of our lesson this morning here about different attributes. As we look at these different attributes here, I ask you to look and do a self-examination. So there are different attributes talked about faith in Scripture, and we want to see how we can apply that to ourselves. The first attribute that we're going to see here, and again, it's contrary to the world, is the first attribute is you can see your faith. Now, the world will say, no, you can't see your faith because your faith is inside you. No one knows what's inside you. But the Scripture talks about that you can see your faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Matthew 9, verse 2. Here Jesus is crossing over the sea, and here he's talking about the paralytic. Verse 2. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. So note that. Jesus saw their faith. When we read this story here, hopefully we are discerning readers. That when we see their faith, whose faith is it talk about? Is it the paralytic? No. Many people think it's the paralytic. The paralytic had the faith. No, note the pronoun before faith. It's their faith. What Jesus saw was the four men, or however many men, that took this paralytic, took off the top of the roof, and laid him down. Jesus saw those men and their faith. And maybe these men talked to the paralytic that Jesus could heal them. They bring him to Jesus. Jesus saw the faith of these men that brought the paralytic to him. So you see here, you can see your faith. He saw it through the actions that they were conducting. We find other men also can seen faith. The Apostle Paul saw faith. Go with me to Acts chapter 14, verse 9. Acts 14, 9. Here, talking about the man who was sitting, who was lame from his mother's womb, never walked. And note what it says in verse 9. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well. Paul saw that this man who never walked had evidently demonstrated through some action, something happened, that he saw his faith that he could be made well. So, brethren, you can see one's faith. Now, my question to you as we do our self-examination, can your brother and sisters in Christ see your faith? You can see your faith. And that all makes sense, right? If we have an obedient, active faith, that means we're going to be workers in the kingdom. Brethren in the world should be able to see our faith. And the question is, are they seeing it? Or is there nothing there? If there's nothing there, maybe that's a problem. So, brethren, be aware of that. People are looking, and you can show your faith, not in a boastful manner, but just doing what the will of God. The other attribute we see about faith is not just like off and on. Yes, I have faith. No, I don't have faith. Either you do or you don't. Faith, we're going to see in the second attribute, is measurable. A person can have different levels of faith. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Matthew 6, 30. Here in the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talking about materialism. And evidently his disciples were anxious and worrying about things that they would wear and things they would eat. And what does Jesus say in 6:30? He said, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Here, evidently, Jesus saw that some of the disciples were worried, were anxious about materialism. Of course, he could see within men. And how is he measuring their faith? Jesus says these type of people that are not trusting God to supply their basic physical needs, they are of little faith. You see here, it is measurable. Go to chapter 8 and verse 10. Chapter 8 and verse 10. Here, talking about the centurion. And remember, his servant was paralyzed. And remember, the centurion evidently was a Roman. He was a non-Jew. Note what Jesus, and you remember the story, but let's note in verse 10. But when Jesus heard this, when the man said that, you know, all you have to do is say the word and his servant would be healed. And Jesus replies, now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. So you see the compliment that Jesus was applying to this non-Jew. He had faith. And how was his faith? It was a great faith. And evidently Jesus making the point is much greater than his own people, the children of Israel. This man had a great faith. Okay, so let's look at another attribute. All these kind of fit together. The next thing you see about faith, if you can see your faith, it is measurable. You can also increase your faith. We have many brethren here up in age. And you say, well, I've served the Lord for all these years, and that is fine and good. You should do that. And you're a good example of that. But does that mean that your faith becomes stagnant at a certain age? Here we find in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus is talking to his ambassadors. He's talking to his apostles. And what is his apostles appealing to Jesus? And the apostles said to Jesus, increase our faith. They recognized that they need to have a firmer conviction of who Jesus was and everything that Jesus was preaching. He says, increase our faith. And that should be our motto for all of us. We should never be satisfied that we know enough, that we're doing enough, that we need to continue to grow in knowledge. We need to increase our faith, our conviction about heaven and home and hell and God and all the blessings in the Bible needs to continue to grow and grow and grow. Our faith should be increasing, and it should never be stagnant. It should continue to grow. That is an attribute, and I believe God expects us to do within all of our abilities is to continue to increase our faith. Well, if our faith can increase, then our faith can also decrease, or actually can also fail. So go with me to Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. Luke 22, 32. And here Jesus is talking to Peter, Simon. And, here was Simon, one of the apostles. Very bold, very boastful type of apostle. Always with the first one to say something, put his sometimes his foot in his mouth. But what does Jesus say to Peter, or as he calls him here, Simon, Simon? Note what he says in verse 32. As Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you," talking about Simon, Peter, "that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And so here, the apostle Peter, Jesus is concerned about him. He's praying about Peter. What? That his faith would not fail. Each one of us, we should be well aware that our faith can fail. Our adversaries out there is trying to destroy us. There's a lot of the world is out there giving us opposition. We can fail. It's possible. It can happen. And Jesus recognizes about Peter. So, with all these things about faith, we see another attribute is that we should be testing our faith. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Here is the Apostle Paul writes. He tells this. And again, in this particular section in the Corinthian letter, he's addressing his adversaries in the Corinthian church. And he notes this in verse 5. He says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" And so, if we are to increase, we should also be examining ourselves. Are we being true to our Lord? We need to test our faith. And the last attribute that we'll talk about here, go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, which we already kind of referred to this, is one of the attributes is that our faith will justify us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel for unto Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you." So, the last attribute we talked about here, being justified. So this morning, what we've seen here, when we study this very important topic of faith, we've seen what faith is. We see it can be used in different ways, but the faith that we're most concerned about is the one faith that will lead us to heaven, made possible through the death of Jesus Christ and our obedient faith. Then we saw is that through faith, we can access God's blessing. We're going to sing a song. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We have overcome the world. We're not like the world. We will not receive the condemnation of the world. How is that all made possible? By faith. We see here faith allows us to access God's blessing. It's been true for us, been true to many examples throughout Scripture where because of people's faith, they were able to access God's grace and His blessings. And last of all, we've seen all these different attributes. And I think the take-home message on these attributes is that our faith needs to be growing. We need to be checking about it. We need to be active, and we never need to stop doing that. Continue to increase and continue to test your faith. So this morning, as we've looked at our lesson here in faith, we want to make it to heaven. And if we have an obedient faith, we can access God's grace through salvation. And again, it's not just a belief only. You find in the Bible, belief only, one time. And it says we're not justified by faith alone, belief only. But God's laid a plan. And if you're an obedient person, just like I made the illustration, you're going to go and walk through that door. You're going to open that door, and you're going to walk through it. And what did Jesus say about how to be saved? He said you've got to believe who He is, got to repent, got to confess, and to be baptized, be buried, and then you'll enjoy salvation. And then it doesn't end there. As we're encouraging that we need to continue to be working on our faith, continuing growing. There might be some in our audience who either need the prayers of the congregation, or there might be some who have never confessed Jesus as Lord and buried in the waters of baptism. If you have that faith, you believe in God, you believe His Word is true, that His message is true, all backed by evidence and proof, then you will come forward and respond to the gospel invitation and be baptized this morning. If you have a need to respond this morning, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.